Are you happy now? You should be. The Celtics blew out the Lakers. Jaylen Brown dunked on LeBron James, and Grant Williams had the most awesome technical foul ever. I'm talking about it right now on the Lockdown Celtics podcast. Millies, let's go. Rainy J's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. Woo! This the truth like 34. Yeah. It's like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly. Every problem is fixed as the Boston Celtics beat the LA Lakers and LeBron James 139-107. 139-107. That's going to do wonders for the Celtics' offensive and defensive ratings and wonders for the collective psyches of Boston Celtics fans everywhere. I'm John Corrales. I cover the Boston Celtics for MassLive.com. I was there in the locker room afterwards at this game, playoff atmosphere, wild night. So much to talk about here. Let's just dive into this. The first part of this is just the game, and we'll talk. I talked to Grant Williams about his 5 minutes, which were the most eventful 5 minutes of his career in some ways. But here's how the game went. The Celtics came out actually slow. And in my notes, I was sitting there getting ready to be like, okay, here we go. Los Angeles opens up, alley-oop to JaVale. Then JaVale McGee blocks a shot. And then it's a four-point play. And then another JaVale McGee block. And then they get a dunk from Anthony Davis. And then Anthony Davis dunks, blocks a Jaylen Brown dunk attempt. And it's like, oh my God. Boom, boom, boom. Lakers side is going to crush the Celtics. And it was almost like a, here we go again. And the Celtics, though, this time, responded. And so this, you had like segments of the game where different players stepped up, and it was very reminiscent of what the Celtics were doing earlier in the year. One guy kind of steps up, then the other guys kind of feel their way through. And in the first quarter, it was Gordon Hayward, who didn't finish with a huge number, 16 points, 5 assists, 6 rebounds, a very nice game for him, but like nothing monstrous. 6 of 12 shooting, though, 2 of 3 from 3. But that first quarter, he was just super important. Like, he scored 8 of those 16 in the first quarter. If it wasn't for Gordon Hayward, who knows how that first quarter goes. Brad Stevens said after the game that Gordon really settled the team down, and he totally did. And he gave other players a chance to kind of come in and start to do their thing. And then now Jaylen, Kemba, Marcus each have 5 points. Enes Kanter has 6. And the first quarter starts to round into shape. And the Celtics can, instead of what they usually do, or have been doing recently anyway, falling apart and letting the misses kind of determine their defensive effort, they hit some shots. And I don't want to say the defensive effort was awesome, because they still gave up 30 points in the first quarter, but they did enough with their scoring to kind of get that confidence going and then get into the second quarter, where the second quarter belonged to Jason Tatum and Enes Kanter. The second quarter is where this game kind of broke open. Celtics go into the second quarter with a 3-point lead. They come out of it with a 14-point lead. And that second quarter was a stretch of Jason Tatum scoring, and he was 3 of 3 from 3 and had 13 points. But Enes Kanter, 12 points, 4 offensive rebounds, just huge plays from him. He did get away with one offensive goaltending. It was the most obvious offensive goaltending, But hey, I mean, if he's going to get away with it, he's going to get away with it. But they, so he and Tatum combined for 25 points of the 36 that the Celtics scored in that quarter. Kemba was the kind of steady force throughout this game. You know, he had 6 points in that second quarter. Like I said, he had, what, 5 in the first quarter. In the third quarter, he came in and had 9. And then they didn't need him to score in the fourth. In the third quarter, that was highlighted by the Jaylen Brown dunk, which was just awesome. 2 of 3 shooting in there. That was one of the 2 baskets that he made, 4 points. Tatum, again, had 9. Like I said, Kemba had 9. But that dunk by Jaylen Brown was huge. The Celtics were kind of going back and forth a little bit in that third quarter. They had, at that point, it was a 16-point lead. So they were 4 minutes into the quarter or so and not really pulling away. The Lakers were sort of hanging around, which was dangerous. You know, with LeBron and Anthony Davis, you know that there's a run coming if you keep them that close. And Anthony Davis was on a minutes restriction, so gotta keep that into account. That this was, you know, they didn't have their full complement of guys. That Anthony Davis wasn't himself, and on a minutes restriction, that's, you know, that this isn't the same Lakers team that they're gonna face when they go to LA, if they don't suffer any more injuries. That game in LA will be very different. Obviously, not just for being at home, but guys will be healthier and it'll be just a different dynamic. But anyway, the Celtics had this moment where it was kind of too close. Like, there might have been a little bit of tension in that building, a little bit. But then Jaylen gets the ball on the left wing, rips through, gets by Danny Green, gets to the restricted area, jumps up. LeBron comes over and jumps, just doesn't get enough power behind it. Jaylen Brown is up. The momentum's going towards the rim. He reaches out with the two hands and finishes the play. And it was just madness. He got a weak technical. I thought that tech was weak, but whatever. It's probably something that they call more often than not, which is, it's always going to be a weak technical to me, but again, whatever. That doesn't matter. That moment triggered a run. I think it was an 18-5 run or something like that, where the Celtics all of a sudden went from in control but tenuous grasp on that control to this is basically a full fourth quarter of garbage time. It wasn't really, but in the Celtics, the fourth quarter, Brad, there was a lot of discussion on media row there about why Brad had Kemba in the game so late and Jaylen in the game so late. And it wasn't until about 5 minutes to go before the full white flag was waved on both sides. But look, crazier things have happened and those guys can get hot. Danny Green, and if LeBron's in there and AD's in there, you just don't want to take a chance. But whatever, that dunk by Jaylen Brown triggered the whole thing. And that's where the whole thing fell apart for the Lakers, and when things started to kind of really just run away for the Boston Celtics. So everybody kind of had their time to shine. And just like we talked about in that podcast, the yesterday's podcast with Chuck, you get back to what worked. And what worked for these guys was just feeling the game out and seeing kind of like whose turn it was. And Tatum had a fantastic game, finished with 27 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. Jaylen and Kemba each had 20. Gordon Hayward chipped in with 16. Like I said, clutch early play. Enes Kanter, 18 points and 11 rebounds. So you got that full complement of performances from these guys. So it was a nice kind of return to what worked in the past. That all said, I'm not going to overreact to this. I'm going to channel Brad Stevens after the game, where he said, just like we didn't overreact to the Phoenix loss, we're not going to overreact to this win. And he is completely right. I'm not going to overreact to this win. I'm not taking a victory lap yet. But it's a nice reminder that when they're fully healthy, they've first opportunity they've had in a long time to have everybody together, and they can put forth performances like this. When the shots start to fall, then they can put the whole thing together. The next step is, when the shots aren't falling, can they get through things with their defense? The Celtics still, this doesn't answer every question that they've had. But it's a good start. They came out after an initial punch to the mouth. They responded. They played defense. They got out in transition. They hit their shots. They weren't forcing things. Marcus Smart, who hit 11 of 22 from three, didn't come out guns blazing. He was 1 of 5 from three, which was acceptable. He kind of had just a decent game, like a nondescript. He didn't try to do too much, which is important. Brad Stevens shortened the rotation and basically played 8 guys for the most part for the parts of the game that mattered. And so, a nice response. Now they've got another game to kind of figure out what can they now add to this? Can they keep this going and make this the trend? So Memphis is not going to be an easy game. And that leads into a road trip. Orlando's not going to be easy. The Pelicans aren't going to be easy because they'll have Zion back by then. Miami's not going to be easy. They're right there with the Celtics. So 4 games coming up that are not going to be easy. And if the Celtics can go out and play like they did in this one, then they should give themselves a chance to win in all of them. Back with more Locked On Celtics right after the break. But first, you know me, I talk about mental health a lot. I think mental fitness is important. And there is a new app called Calm that is part of a good regimen to get your mental fitness, to keep you mentally fit. It's the number one app for sleep and meditation. It's teamed up with LeBron James to help you train your mind. And this is important. Sleep and meditation are important elements to kind of help you through this process. Sleep especially. LeBron and Calm know that your mind is like any other muscle in your body, and Calm can help you train your brain so you can sleep better, have less stress, so you can perform your best. For LeBron, sleep is an important part of his mental fitness routine. It should be part of yours too. Sleep is like the first thing that we sacrifice. It's the worst thing that we can sacrifice. LeBron says getting good sleep and finding time to rest is one of the most valuable things that I can do for my body and mind. So you head to calm.com, that's C-A-L-M, calm.com/LockedOnNBA, and you can get 40% off a Calm premium membership. With Calm, you have access to nature scenes that LeBron loves, like rain on leaves, and so much more, like sleep stories and meditation. So for a limited time, my listeners can join LeBron in using Calm with a 40% discount to an annual membership at calm.com/LockedOnNBA. You can unlock content to help you focus, ease stress, and sleep better. Get started at calm.com/LockedOnNBA. That's calm.com/LockedOnNBA.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
I talked to Grant Williams after the game because he had the 5 of the most eventful minutes of his career in this game. I was going to talk to him before garbage time because I saw him come in at the end of the second quarter. He had 30 some odd seconds of play, and he in that 30 seconds got switched onto LeBron James. And I thought, geez, this kid who the Celtics couldn't really play him, didn't feel like they could play him early on because of, I think, because of the Lakers' size. And he just, and I agree, like, who are you going to play him against? Was he going to guard Dwight Howard? I mean, I'm not a Dwight Howard guy, but I don't think that Grant covering Dwight was going to be a great idea. And so Brad Stevens kind of decided not to go to him. But in an end of half situation, thinking like some versatility to switch, it made more sense in that moment. And so he switches on to LeBron. And he was telling me after the game, you know, like, hey, I'm 21 years old. I grew up watching this guy. And yeah, you sit at the scorer's table and you're like, oh shit, I'm covering LeBron. And that's a hell of a moment for a young kid. And they got the miss. I'm not saying he forced the miss, but LeBron missed. So it worked out. And so he had that experience and he was just like, he was telling me, and I wrote about this on masslive.com. So if you go to masslive.com/Celtics, you can see it. But he basically was like, please don't let me be like Yusuf Nurkic and get dunked on. And so he managed to avoid that. But then he came in garbage time and he got the ball in front of the Lakers bench. And DeMarcus Cousins said something. I don't know what he said. Grant wouldn't tell me what he said, but he said something and Grant hit the three and literally gave a thumbs up, just smiled and gave him a thumbs up, and that earned him a technical foul. And Grant was like beside himself. I mean, laughing, joking, but for real, it's like $2,500. And he's like, I'm a rookie, man. I can't afford that. That's a lot of money, $2,500. So that for a guy like Draymond Green, like can you imagine how much money he doles out? I mean, that's a lot of money, $2,500 a pop. There's a way to get him rescinded, which he didn't know about and I wasn't sure about, but apparently like the Players Association can just say, hey, we want this looked at. I don't know if that's going to be rescinded. He did make a gesture, even though it was a thumbs up and a smile. Like, that gesture was, I don't know, enough? It crossed the line? I don't know. The best part, the absolute best part, and it was totally unexpected, was when he was talking about the tech and he goes, oh, and it came from Tony Brothers, which is pretty cool. I mean, he's just like, yeah. Tony Brothers, Scott Foster, you hear about these guys. And so his father was friends with a ref, Eddie F. Rush, for people who are old enough to remember. I remember Eddie Rush. I remember Tommy Heinsohn yelling about Eddie Rush all the time. But Grant says he's heard all kinds of stories, and he thought that getting a tech from Tony Brothers was pretty cool, which I think is pretty cool. It was a lot of fun to see Grant out there have that oh shit moment about covering LeBron, which I would have been happy to talk to him just about that oh shit moment, because you're a rookie, you're 21 years old, and all of a sudden you're staring LeBron in the face and he's dribbling between his legs trying to figure out how he wants to toast you. And I'm sure in that like instant, in that moment, you're just like, okay, focus. You're focusing on his like torso and you just want to play as good a defense as you possibly can play. But I'm sure afterwards he's like, oh my God. Yeah. I just guarded LeBron James. Like, I don't know. I would be, it's hard not to have that moment. Even though you're an NBA player now, like, you can't not have that moment. It was sitting there, like, I'm sure as I record this at 2:30 in the morning, if Grant Williams is awake in his apartment somewhere around Boston, he's not sitting there thinking like, I guarded LeBron James tonight. Like, that's got to be a thing. That's got to be pretty cool. I know everybody here, not everybody, but most people who are Celtics fans, you hate LeBron James, but, you know, you can't argue that he's not one of the best, if not the best, to ever do it. So it's still going to be pretty cool. In that moment, Celtics Lakers, to have that moment is pretty cool. The technical foul stuff was gravy. We're going to wrap up the show after the break. Stick around for more Locked On Celtics.
Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
Just some final thoughts here on the game and a couple of other thoughts that I'll share at the end. But one thing that stood out to me is this battle of size versus speed. And the speed kind of won in this game. Kemba Walker was effective, and I've talked about this a number of times. I've talked about it in relation to the Philadelphia 76ers, where they have size, the Celtics have speed, and they can stack up all of their size, and that's going to be hard to guard. The Celtics have the speed, and they can stack all of that up, and that's going to be hard to guard. And the Celtics showed at their best that they can be hard to guard with their speed. They can take bigs and pull them out of position and make it very difficult for them to be effective on the defensive end. So just something to keep in mind. I'm not saying that this is the perfect example of it. I'm not saying that this is something that's going to carry on, but and the teams are different. The Sixers and the Lakers, they're different. The type of bigs that the Lakers have aren't the type of bigs that the Sixers have. Embiid is a different type of player than the Lakers' bigs. But the size versus speed thing is interesting, and I thought that dynamic was kind of worth noting. The Lakers went zone a bunch of times trying to take advantage of that length. Thought the Celtics did a good job handling that zone. Not necessarily just doing a lot of the zone busting things, but their shooting kind of made that zone tough to sustain. And so if you can shoot over the zone, and then that'll make them pay. If you can't shoot over the zone, then you got to attack the gaps. But I thought they did a fine job against the zone, and it's important because the Celtics haven't always done a fine job against zones. I thought some of Tatum's scoring was spurred by an aggressiveness, and I thought the floater at the end of the first quarter was important because he only had a few seconds to beat the shot clock, and he had to be decisive and aggressive, and I thought that was a nice kind of example of how he should play. I thought Tatum did a lot of things kind of like big boy moves, like really like more polished, more confident, more thought out. Like, he was playing real good kind of star level basketball for some of those moments. So I thought that was really good. And you know, you put it on film and you show it to him, you say, hey, look at what you did when you were this aggressive, when you did this, when this was your mentality. So it's important. It's important to have these things because you go into the film room and they show it to you and they say, okay, this was good. Reinforce that. So overall, good performance for the Celtics. Again, not going to overreact. We'll see what they do against the Memphis Grizzlies. It could easily all go away because the Grizzlies have speed and plenty of it. And Ja Morant is a special talent. Okay, a couple of other thoughts. One sort of tangentially basketball related here, but there's a video circulating about Delonte West. He's a former Celtic, former NBA player, who's clearly not doing well. And I'm not going to dive too deep into all of it. I know that he suffers from bipolar disorder. I know that he's had trouble throughout his life, throughout his basketball career. Things haven't gone the way he wanted them to, and part of it, I think that the medication or whatever he's taking or not taking, teams, I don't know what they've done, but whatever it is, he's in a bad spot. First of all, obviously, I'm hoping that somebody sees this video, former players, former teammates, the Players Association, that somebody can find a way to get this guy the help that he needs. Secondly, it's a very good example for things that I talk about on a regular basis, mental health, where it's just important to keep track of the people who need an extra boost, an extra whatever, a little extra attention. And I don't know what specifically Delonte's situation is, what his support system is, but it's super important to have a good support system for people who need it. And so if you are able to provide something like that, just a hello, an occasional how you doing, if somebody's willing to reach out to you and share something personal, to listen and to try and work with that person to maybe get, find an answer. Whatever you need to do, I would just hope that this is a reminder that as we hope that Delonte gets better, that there are millions of Delontes out there that didn't play in the NBA that are in similar situations and need just as much help. And so maybe you know one, maybe you are one, and if you need help, ask. If you can offer help, please do. And I'll just say, I've had people hop into my DMs and ask me questions and have said, hey, I need help with something. And you know what? I'm happy to do it. If that's the case, then sure, then ask me. I'm perfectly happy to, I'm here. We're in this together. So if anybody can offer that, do it. If you need the help, feel free to ask, because it's the only way. Unfortunately, you don't want to get down to the point where Delonte, like that, to say, oh my God, this person needs help. And I can't see somebody limping and say, oh, what's wrong with your foot? There's no limping. There's no, like, you have to really be in tune to somebody to see the symptoms, and they're not always obvious. So it's hard. So it's mental health is just especially difficult because it relies on the person suffering to sometimes be the one that asks for the help. And that's tough. So just another opportunity here to say, help is there if you want it, if you need it. Just the strength is what you need to just say, hey, help. So that's that on all of that. And finally, on this Martin Luther King Day, I want to kind of extend the message of helping people in need, because, you know, I'm not going to get preachy here. I just want us all to kind of get through this together. We get together for these Celtics games. You're listening. I don't know what your background is. I don't know if you're male or female, black or white, Republican or Democrat. I don't know. And I don't care. And we don't care. For 2.5 hours, we don't care. We're all on Twitter. We're all on social media. All we're invested in is the Celtics beating the Lakers. That's awesome. And then for some reason after that, we split off into our tribes and go back to too much hate. And I love basketball because it showed me that if you're good, you're good. And when I walked onto that court in Pawtucket, Rhode Island, back when I was 18 years old, and I said, I got next, it didn't matter who I was, what I looked like, whatever. All that mattered was I got next, and if I won, I stayed on that court. And if I won with whomever it was with me, then the other four guys and me, we stayed on the court. And that's it. And at the end, every time we won, it was high fives, it was hugs, and it was trash talk, it was fun. You made friends, you got to know people from different backgrounds, and basketball showed me, like, you know, we're all the same. This we're all in it together. And so I don't know what your politics are or your background is or any of that, but I will say that when you boil it down, we all kind of want the same thing. And if you just cut through the bullshit and open your eyes, and we'll see that if we all just kind of listen to each other, we can take care of each other and make this world a better place. So every once in a while, I get serious at the end of these podcasts. This was an opportunity to do so. Thank you for listening. We'll see what happens with the Boston Celtics. This is a Boston Celtics podcast, and obviously I'm going to be talking exclusively about the Boston Celtics as we move forward. But like I said, every once in a while, I take these opportunities. So please go ahead and subscribe. The next podcasts will be tomorrow or Monday through Friday. We'll see if I can get a good guest for us to kind of reevaluate where the Celtics are. So give this podcast a subscription. And if you do subscribe, go ahead and give that 5-star rating and a good written review. We've got over 1,000 ratings and we're a 5-star podcast right now. Could use more because, you know, these rankings, they're important. So go ahead and do that and share the podcast. Tell everybody to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.